Hello and welcome to the Beer Nuts Productions podcast. My name is Goff and today I am joined by a very special guest. This man is a gardening guru. There is nothing this man doesn't know about the environment, gardening, nature. He's just in fact, they gave him his own TV show called Gardening Australia. That's how knowledgeable this man is. It's Costa Georgiadis. How you doing today, Costa?
Wow, Goff. Hey, lovely to be here. I'll just put a couple of disclaimers in there. I've got a lot to learn. I learn every day, and I'm involved with an incredible team at Gardening Australia that
Don't be so humble. It's all about you.
I have to make a few corrections there. But anyway, we're all good. We're all good.
No. Don't believe him, ladies and gentlemen. It's a one-man show. It's all about Costa. Now, Costa, when I told my friend Jan down at my local gym that I was interviewing Costa, she got very excited because she's got 3 acres out the back of her house and she's a gardening nut. She loves it. And she said, well, when you talk to Costa, I have a question for him. I said, okay, then Jan, what's your question? So this is an old school radio show, apparently, all of a sudden. So Jan from Narang would like to know.
Narang?
Yes. Oh.
Jan Narang, I love Narang.
Jan from Narang would like to know, all right, how do we kill fly speck without pesticides? How do we keep fly speck from returning? And I would like to know, what the bloody hell is fly speck?
Okay, so fly speck is an impact on the surface of fruit. It's predominantly cosmetic. It just doesn't look that nice with the black little dots, as though someone's punched little with the end of a pen on it. Probably the most common, or at least the one that I've heard used before, because I've never had it. I don't grow apples here in Sydney. They're not quite the appropriate climate where I am by the coast, but as far as a fungicide, something like potassium bicarbonate is pretty effective for that form of control. And, you know, in terms of if she's keeping an organic garden, well, then that would suit the challenge for her.
Because I've got no idea, man. That's not a pesticide. What did you say?
Potassium bicarbonate.
What is that? Potassium. I can't even say it. What is it? Like, yeah.
It's bicarb of soda. Oh, bicarb of soda.
I get you. So just a bit of that should fix the problem.
Yep.
Well, that's an easy fix, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Nice one. All right. Well, Jan from Narang, you heard it here first. So there you go. So if anybody else is having any issues, you know now what to do. Now, Costa, let's talk about you. How did the transition into television come about for you? So, you know, you're a gardener, you're loving your stuff, you've studied horticulture. How did the TV sort of come into your life?
Yeah, so I had studied and done a course in landscape architecture at New South Wales Uni, and then I went and lived in Europe for quite a few years and was working on community composting projects over there. I was building rooftop gardens and predominantly building nature ponds, natural swimming ponds, nature ponds, garden ponds, really wonderful projects that I worked on over there for many years. When I came back, I got involved with project managing projects for my friend's landscape business, and then I looked after and created my own business, and then I got a phone call one day from someone saying, you know, there's a production company looking for someone to be part of a gardening / lifestyle show, and it kind of just went from there, and that's where the opportunity to be on the SBS came about, and that's when we created Costa's Garden Odyssey, and that ran for 3 or 4 years across the sort of around the 2007, 8, 9, 10 11 or 8, 9, 10, 11, around there. And then I went across to Gardening Australia after that. So yeah, it was one of those ones that came about unexpectedly, but it was also one of those things that when it did happen, there was no looking back. It's just been an incredible launch into that side of my life, and God, I love it. It just gets better.
That's fantastic. Good stuff. It's kind of like pushing the snowball down the hill, hey?
Yeah, and then it just accelerated. And, you know, if you asked me back at the, you know, in 2001, like I was going along doing what I was doing, and if you asked me, would you be in television, I would have said, look, a friend of mine, one of my best friends is in film and TV production, and we'd always talked about the idea of maybe doing something, but he was busy doing his things, I was busy doing mine, and was it ever going to happen? Maybe. Yeah, we were going to give it a crack, but we were doing our stuff. And then when this external offer came, it kind of galvanized us, and we said, well, do we wait to when that time comes that probably won't come, or do we go with this one? And so we went with this one, and yeah, never turned back.
Good stuff. Good for you, man. I like that. It's a good news story. I dig it a lot. Now, as a young Costa, who was it that sort of instilled the love of the environment and gardening and all that sort of stuff? Who was it that that really sort of introduced you to that world?
I suppose when I look at it in the broadest of sense, it was all of my grandparents' generation, because they all came out here. They were villagers, they were growers, they were gardeners. My grandfather was a market gardener. They were Yeoponi. They were people of the earth. They were farmers in that sense. So it was in the DNA in a way, and they were the ones that had this real sort of, whenever you'd go to someone's place, they'd always be walking around the garden, taking cuttings, sharing things, sharing vegetables. You know, my grandparents were amazing growers. My grandfather was incredible. That's where I spent a lot of time in my childhood, in his garden. And when I think about the influence that generation had on me, it was really instrumental in where I am and why I am where I am now.
Well, on that same topic then, do you think it's important to introduce children to gardening and to nature and all that sort of stuff? How important is that?
That's not a question. That's a statement. It's important. It's vitally important. I live and breathe that every day through my role as Costa the Garden Gnome on Get Grubby TV, and the work that I do with Dirt Girl and Scrap Boy in Dirt Girl World, the work that I do in schools, the work that I do just being me on the street with children walking past every day, and they just know and see and smell me. And I think that's really nice, like little neighbours that come up every day to visit my community worm farms and compost bins. The other day, Max came up and I was digging up this area of garden that I'm turning into a sunflower garden, and the soil smelt amazing after the rain, and little Maxie was there and he was running around barefoot in it, and he said, oh, it's spongy, it's light, you know, and this is a three-year-old. And you think, wow, isn't that lovely that he's barefoot in the earth and just loving it. And then I said, oh, can you smell that, Maxie? And I said, it smells like earth. It smells like the forest. And he sort of nonchalantly picked up a handful of soil, and he went, yep. He said, that smells like Costa. And if that's the kind of influence that I'm having on little Max, then my work here is being done. He comes up and he's just in awe at my garden and wanting to see the frogs and see the chickens and see the bees and look at the worms and look at what's growing and help do stuff. And, you know, in that sense, we're all capable of influencing children, not just our children, but I see them as our children. I don't have that kind of linear ownership because they're part of our community and we can all participate in their education. We can create positive influence just by having a garden on the street, which they walk past and absorb every day. And when they feel a different temperature because it's cool, when they feel and smell, when their senses are evoked, that's going to stay with them for a long time, just as it did through my grandparents and my great aunts and my great uncles. And, you know, my godfather had a property up in the Bylong Valley near Mudgee, and that's where I took my first steps. And you can't say prescriptively when that influence will be felt, but if we're part of that DNA and laying down those sedimentary layers of influence, then I think it's something we all need to be a part of.
Mate, you speak with such passion. I absolutely love listening to you talk, and that's why I usually am the one doing all the talking, but I'm shutting up because I'm really enjoying what you've got to say. Because you speak with such passion, and it's really refreshing. I find that really refreshing. What is it that keeps you so, like, I just feel that occasionally you don't seem to be the kind of guy that gets all doom and gloom and glum. You seem like such a positive human being. You know, what is it that keeps you up and about? Like, what is it that doesn't, like, I'm not wording this at all well, but, you know, I think you know what I'm trying to say. Like, you don't go, you know what I'm saying? What keeps you so pumped up?
I suppose the thing that keeps me motivated and pumped is just life and the planet around us, the world around us, the sheer nature of nature. These are systems that have evolved over thousands of years, and the way that the mechanisms work, the way that the insects arrive at the time of the flowers and they pollinate in a certain way, and that enables the plant to then turn a flower into a fruit, which then becomes food for something else, which then takes the seed and may deliver that seed a distance away to build diversity so you don't just get the same plants into breeding all the time. And, you know, these structures that are exist around us, but then the processes that translate between these structures of ecosystems from one valley to the next through the arteries of rivers and creeks and waterways and then pollinators doing their work and wildlife feeding and nurturing and controlling and the power of spiders to maintain as predators control of, you know, the plethora of insects that could just take over and totally decimate everything. But that balance, and the more I learn about it, the more I realize from an ecological point of view, from a pure science point of view, just how incredibly beautiful it is. And that beauty makes me want to understand it even more. But then going back to what you said, it makes me want to be able to articulate it in appropriate ways so that children get the same language but a slightly different delivery to what I'd say to adults.
Yep.
But the main thing is that heart, having the heart and the awe inside you to explain something so that people pay attention. But not because I want to dictate the terms, but really because I want to excite the terms and allow them to be moved to go and explore it further. And that, I think, is really the role of education and educators to not tell people, but to place things in front of them so that they become motivated and want to learn more. And when someone's hungry, they'll get 100% when someone's being dragged to it, they'll have indifference. They'll be looking at their screen. They'll be looking away. They won't turn up. They're not interested, you know. So I love the fact that every day I have this opportunity to alter and appropriately dispense information in a way that it captures people's attention and stirs them. And for that, I'll be doing it forever.
Cool, man.
Because there's no end. There's no end to it, because every day there's a different context, and with a new context, you have to adapt and adjust. It's not like I know everything, but what I know, I have an obligation and a duty to make and expose its beauty to others so that they can take it to the next level.
Well, while I'm talking to you, an idea popped into my head, and this already might be a thing, so forgive me if again, I have this a little bit wrong. But now there's such a thing, obviously, as music therapy and art therapy for, you know, PTSD and all that sort of stuff. Is there such a thing, or could there be such a thing as gardening therapy for those folks, you know?
Oh, not if. There is. Horticultural therapy is a recognised thing, and you're spot on. You're right on the pulse. And horticultural therapy is something that's growing in importance and significance, particularly in these times where people are suffering from, you know, a lot of disturbance. The status quo has been totally turned on its head. People have been pushed into places they've never been before. The mental health consequences of the last 2 years, and I'm not just talking COVID, I'm talking bushfires, I'm talking floods, I'm talking droughts, all of these things. And it's not just the 2 years, I mean 2 years maybe of COVID, but then you talk about the droughts and the fires and then the floods and then all of those things combined. People have been pushed to the limit. And the therapeutic aspects of being in nature, to be able to turn off your mind, to slow down, to operate off nature's clock. I mean, the Japanese recognize it and they call it forest bathing, where you, and I love that concept, just that language again, back to the language. I think language is, it really is the thread. It's the common ground, and how we speak and the words we use determine the therapeutic state we're in, because if we're constantly talking negative, we become negative. But when we go into nature, nature's positive, and forest bathing is this really just a recognition that if you go out into the forest, you are going to bathe yourself in nature. But then it goes to the next level, Gough, because you then talk about your body actually inhaling different microbes from different landscape ecologies. So when you're in a certain forest or in a certain bit of bushland, you get exposed to certain pathogens, certain microbes. And that then influences your microbiome and your capacity to consume and break down and have a successful, healthy inner composting system, which is what it is. A forest is a composting system. The forest lives because of death, because it transforms death and breakdown through decomposers back into life, which feeds the next generation. So those things feed off that. So horticultural therapy is a thing that is not only providing wonderful pathways for people with mental health issues, people with physical limitations. It gives them the chance to go outside and be influenced by nature, be influenced by microbes of all different types, and then it helps. It helps set up a pathway for children to be connected to that and stay connected to that and build their health from a young age, not about separating them, spraying everything to within an inch of its life with disinfectant, keeping people away from those kind of pathogens that your body needs to create resistance and resilience. And so the more people are outside, the more resilient they become. The more resilient they become, the more healthy their fighting mechanisms are. Because effectively, the world is kept at bay by a very thin membrane of skin, nasal hairs, and, you know, a stomach which breaks things down. Like, we are very fragile. But the more we get out and get mongrel, the healthier we become.
I like that, man. I want to get out and get mongrel. Now, what a great expression. Now, for that, we do have to wrap it up in a minute, but I just want, for those folks at home who have been listening to this and are now super inspired to get their ass outside, give us a couple of just quickly some key tips. So they want to start a little garden. They know very little about gardening. So what are a couple of one or two little key tips to get them on the road to success so that they can sort of, thrive and start enjoying what you're talking about?
Don't do it on your own. Find people in your family that are also gardeners. Go to your local community garden. Look up different sites such as Community Gardens Australia, Permaculture Australia, wonderful examples where you can get information. Gardening Australia, you can watch us every week, and we've got stories about, how to get started right through to how to take it to the next level. So there's a lot of, and of course there's YouTube channels and all sorts of different social media platforms where you can go and get that information.
So would you
walk
say
walk your streets? Yeah, find.
Would you just say give it a go? Like you say, walk the streets and give it a red hot crack and just see how you go and sort of take it from there. Is that sort of what you're trying to say?
100%. Start small. Even if you just start with a pot and just plant some herbs, or start with a pot and plant something that you might want to eat, like some salad greens or a cherry tomato. And then slowly go from there by doing those things. I mean, I after a long period of being asked, have only just this week launched a book, which is really about saying to people, this is about heart, head, and hands. Get out there because you want to. Dabble with the science and understand that you will fail, and failure is good because that will teach you to look at why you failed rather than throw your hands in the air.
So don't get the sooks when your cherry tomatoes die the first time around. Don't get the sooks and throw them all in the bin. Give it another go.
Exactly, because that way you can then start to understand, well, did I have my microclimate goggles on? Did I assess the site? Did I put it in the full sun where it needed to be, or was it in the shade and it got affected and it got cold and it got mold and then it died? Like all of these little details that, I've looked at those things for years and I've seen success and I've seen people with success build on that success. So then, by thinking about it, okay, I'm motivated, my heart's in it, my head, I've got to do some homework, and my hands, now I'll do it. And that could be, okay, I'm in an apartment, maybe in the grounds around the apartment, maybe on the nature strip you could start something. Maybe you might do it with a friend and go to their place, or there could be a neighbour or an old couple down the street that have a big front yard and you just say to them, hey, I'm happy to grow some stuff together. There's lots of ways that we can take the community side of gardening, which then goes back to what you're saying, Gough, about the therapeutic side, because it's not just about growing plants. It's about growing friendships, growing understanding, and growing community. And when you start to do that, you'll actually find that it'll begin to change your priorities, and you'll connect with the seasons differently. You'll start to ask more questions around your food. You'll look at sustainability in a whole new light, because you'll start to grow things that are local. And then I'm afraid we can't cure you. You've then crossed the line and you're away, and I'll be there cheering with the loud hailer saying, come and join us. There's no going back.
That's fantastic. Now, you did mention you've got a book before we wrap this up. How about you give that book a dirty, great big plug? Where can we buy it? How can we get our hands on it?
It wasn't. Yeah. So look, in saying that, it's kind of, when you talk about pushing yourself out of your comfort zone, I mean, writing a book was way out of my – I may do a lot of writing in posts and blogs and things like that, but writing a book and committing it to print is another whole beast. So it's been a big, big thing, and I've been talking about it for years and years, and I've finally done it. So it's called Costa's World, Gardening for the Soil, the Soul and the Suburbs, and you can get it You can get it through the ABC shop or, you know, online through your local bookstore or Booktopia or Dimmicks and a few other retailers that you'll see on the ABC shop. But yeah, it's a real privilege to actually commit stuff to print. And then suddenly, you know, and you're right in the heart of it, Goff, I'm right in the middle of the launch week, and it's quite surreal to see it out there and see people getting it and just go, oh wow, it's out in the world. It's been a privilege.
Are you super proud of it? Are you now that you've done it, are you super stoked? Are you really happy that you did it?
Yeah, look, I am. I've been asked to do one since I started with SBS, and then every year for the last 9 years I've been, when are you going to do it? What about next year? What about next year? And then I finally bit the bullet and now looking at it, and I worked with two amazing people. Brenna Quinlan did the illustrations and Lisa Reedy did all the graphic design, and they've just brought the book to life, and Barbara McClenahan, who had to edit my stream of consciousness, she deserves whatever the equivalent of an academy is, because the fact that she's still alive is a wonderful thing, as I just delivered more and more. But no, writing has been a really interesting process, and I feel very privileged to have had the chance to write a book. So yeah, it's a real eye opener. It's been a great experience.
No, that's fantastic, man. I encourage everyone to jump online to the ABC shops and grab a copy of Costa's book, because you've heard what the man's had to say. If that hasn't inspired you to go out and purchase one, I don't know what will. But thank you so much for joining me today, Costa. I really do appreciate your time.
Oh, Goff, it's been an absolute pleasure, and thanks for doing a podcast and bringing different people's perspectives and lives and experiences to this platform, because podcasts are an amazing way for people to learn stuff. And I must say, I listen to plenty, and it's a privilege to be on them as well.
Oh, well, mate, it's absolutely my pleasure. Well, you'll have to subscribe to the Beer Nuts Productions one, which is what I'm going to tell everybody else to do right now. So make sure you like and subscribe to the podcast, leave a friendly comment, rate and review. Of course, 5 stars is always nice, and a friendly comment always helps. So thank you again, Costa, so much for joining me today. I really do appreciate it.
Pleasure.
And of course, beernutsproductions.com is your one-stop shop for all your entertainment needs. So until next time, we'll talk to you then.